So this particular verse is called, text 29 is called amazing verse. So we'll learn words amazing so many times, keeps repeating. So let's recite.
Ashcharyavat pashyati kakshitenam Ashcharyavat vadati tathaiva chainya Ashcharyavat chainam anashnoti Shlova vienam vedakrashayam kashche Ashcharyavat pashyati kakshitenam Ashcharyavat vadati tathaiva chainya Ashcharyavat chainam ananashnoti Shuvvapienam vedana chaiva kaschit.
Some look on the soul as amazing, some describe him as amazing, and some hear of him as amazing, while others, even after hearing about him, cannot understand him at all.
Yeah, you can
since
read that.
Since Gita Upanishad is largely based on the principles of the Upanishads, it is not surprising to also find this passage in the Katha Upanishad. I am not attempt to read this. The fact that the atomic soul is within the body of a gigantic animal, in the body of a gigantic banyan tree, and also in the microbic germs, millions and billions of which occupy only an inch of space, is certainly very amazing. Men with a poor fund of knowledge and men who are not austere cannot understand the wonders of the individual atomic spark of spirit. Even though it is explained by the greatest authority of knowledge, who imparted lessons even to Brahma, the first living being in the universe. Owing to a gross material conception of things, most men in this age cannot imagine how such a small particle can become so great and so small. So men look at the soul proper as wonderful either by constitution or by description. Illusioned by the material energy, people are so engrossed in subject matters for sense gratification that they have very little time to understand the question of self-understanding, even though it is a fact that without the self-understanding, all activities result in ultimate defeat in the struggle for existence. Perhaps they have no idea that one must think of the soul and thus make a solution to the material miseries.
Okay, Mati, you can stop there. So I will just read from this book. Actually, this is called Surrender Unto Me. It's kind of a, you know, supplement to Bhagavad Gita. It's one of the Prabhupada disciples. So he wrote this book. He was a teacher that time in 1960 something, and he was very good at explaining, you know, like basically analyzing things and breaking down things, and you know, to teach others. So he wrote this book. So it's very popular. Whenever we study the Bhakti Gita course, this is kind of a supplement book for that. So we always refer, you know, any, basically this one is, you know, it's called Amazing Verse. But let's see what how this Prabhu explains, what, how much detail this one has. So I'll just read the, he always gives the English translation, then after that he, you know, he takes points from the purport and describes this, any, you know, confusion, all those things. Ashcharyavat means amazing, right? That's, we repeated 3-4 times that Sanskrit word. Pashyati means sees. Vadati means describes. Shrunoti means hear. So here there are three things, right? So one is
seeing,
hearing, and
describing,
right? Speaking. So that's the thing. The first line of this verse says, Ascharyavat Pashyati. Some look on the soul as amazing. The second line says, Ascharyavat Vadati. Some people speak about the soul as amazing. And the third line says, Ascharya Vach, Shrunoti. Some hear about the soul and think of him as amazing. In the first line of Srila Prabhupada's translation, some look on the soul as amazing, Ascharya Vat, amazing, is taken to modify soul, which is the object of the sentence. So that what he is saying is, so in this basically the object is soul, right? That's what he say, which is the object of the sentence. Srila Baladev Vidyabhushana has given two more interpretations, wherein the word Ascharyavat additionally modifies the sentence, subject and verb. Thus, each line of this verse can be explained in three ways. As the word for amazing changes from modifying the object to modifying the subject and verb. I did not really get it.
Okay.
So, amazing here, so soul is the object here.
Soul is
that
the object.
What you're talking about.
Yeah.
And amazing basically describes that particular object.
Yes.
So, what you're saying is that it seems like in the further explanation that they're going to provide, they are going to use that amazing to the subject, which
subject?
Is the sum. That means some look. That is, there is a person who is looking at it, right? And looking is the verb here. Right? So, they are going to basically explain these two things is what I understand.
Yeah.
And verb, yeah.
So, first explanation which Prabhupada has given here, or in the translation is like, it's about object, as Prabhupada was saying, right? I'm just rephrasing what Prabhupada said. Prabhupada said very excellently. So, this amazing is attributed to the characteristic of soul. Like, right? Soul looks amazing, right? Soul is described as amazing and soul is heard as amazing. So, soul is amazing. And the next two interpretation is of subject as well as of the verb. The subject is people. So, people look at the soul as amazing. People hear of the soul as amazing. People describe the soul as amazing. Right? And then...
So, basically in this one, the people who are seeing, they are amazing.
Yeah.
That's the...
People are amazing. Then the next one is the verb. The action of hearing about the soul is amazing.
Mm.
Action of describing the soul is amazing. Action of seeing the soul is amazing. So it's like that.
Okay, I'll just finish this one. There are a few. So Ascharyavat can modify people, the subject of the sentence. Some people who are amazing look upon the soul.
Yeah. I think second
so that's
one
the second one. Subject of the sentence.
Yeah.
Right? That's people who...
People are amazing. Yeah.
If Ascharyavat modifies the verb, look, the sentence reads, some people look amazingly at the soul.
Mm.
Yeah.
Depending on how one translates these amazing words, the people who see the soul are amazing, the soul is amazing, or the power to see the soul is amazing. The second line, some people describe the soul as amazing, can also be translated in three ways with Vadati describes. Replacing sees. Similarly, the third line can understand translated in three ways by using the word Shrunoti ears. So what do you get from all this hearing? It was difficult for me to follow.
Let's take one thing and try to understand this, right? So why we think soul is, let's say amazing is for the soul now.
Yeah, just for the soul.
Or for the object, right? So why is soul amazing? We discussed in the purport actually.
The same size soul exists in
yeah.
Amoeba, same size soul exists in the blue whale also.
Yes. So it's a big body, small body. So that's one characteristic. And we can also discuss all the points
all the
we discussed. All the things, you know, it's never touched by material things.
Inconceivable,
immutable. Yeah, exactly. It's so tiny. It's 1/10,000 tip of the hair. Right? But still, it's big body versus small body. Right?
And also soul is Sachidananda.
Yeah.
Vigraha.
Soul is full of bliss.
It's always
so
bliss.
So that can we imagine anything full of happiness in this world. But the soul is like that. So, you know, soul is amazing. Now, if you look at people who look at the soul as amazing, right? So people who are interested in spiritual subject matter, they are amazing.
Mm.
Because Krishna also says, I don't know if you can recollect the verse, right? There are two verses in Bhagavad Gita which emphasizes that how rare is this people who seek spiritual knowledge. One is Manushyanam Sahasreshu. You can look at the, I don't know the, it's 7th chapter I think. Manushyanam Sahasreshu Kaschit Yatati Siddhaye Yatatam Api Siddhanam Kaschin Maam Veti Tatvataha. So it's in it starts with yeah, it's in 7.3 actually. So where Krishna says it's very out of many thousands of men one may endeavor for perfection and those who have achieved perfection hardly one knows me in truth. So actually many among many people only some people want liberation or even inclined. Among those people who know Krishna are very rare. elsewhere he says, you know, Bahunam Janmanamante, that is 7.19 I think. Yeah, 7.19. Bahunam Janmanamante, Jnanavan Mam Prapadyate, Vasudevam Sarvamiti, Samahatma Sudurlabha. So after many, many words, he who is actually knowledge surrenders unto me. Knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is such a great soul is very rare. Right? Krishna says, after many, many births, and that person has to be fully knowledge, then only he surrenders to Krishna. And Krishna calls that person as a very rare person. So these people who are interested in, or which is like all of us, to some or greater or smaller extent, who are interested in spiritual subject matter, they are amazing people. Right? Now if we talk about the act of hearing, the act of seeing, the act of describing the soul is amazing, right? So this emphasizes the, you know, the glory of devotional service. This hearing, seeing and describing, these are all devotional services. So devotional service, one of the characteristics of devotional services, never becomes stale. Even if, like, let's say so many times we hear Krishna's stories, or, you know, in this class maybe, you know, we keep hearing, we are not the body, we are not the body. Hopefully, you know, it's not boring. Because the spiritual subject matter is always fresh. Krishna is ever fresh, right? Krishna, one of the names for Krishna is Navayavanamcha. He's always young. So like that, his subject matters are always fresh. So some examples, so the point is, there is a verse, right? Krishna says, he reveals that knowledge according to how we approach him. So if we approach spiritual subject matter saying, you know, I'm sleepy, I'm tired, like that, then it's going to reciprocate, Krishna is going to reciprocate like that. But if our heart is so eager, it's like, oh, I want to know what Krishna is going to tell me today, like that, you know. Then if we are so eager, then that much the knowledge will be enlightening to us. So it's all about how we approach. So some of the incidents from our history, just, you know, to sink in, like, how we should be so eager. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right, the person Gauranga, who stands there, right, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this Hare Krishna mantra. So he, 500 years ago when he appeared, he was very much inclined to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So he has his disciple Gadadhar Pandit. So, and he wanted to hear Srimad Bhagavatam come in. And Gadadhar Pandit especially was so empowered that he could tell things in a very, very, you know, this is also ability, right? The way you tell, such that, you know, people get interested and all. So he was very good in narrating, like, pastimes. So then once he told about Dhruva Maharaj story, we know about Dhruva Maharaj story, right? 5 years he goes and tries to get a kingdom, and then he sees Lord Vishnu later on. So he tells that story, he listens to all the story with rapt attention, and after that immediately he says, tell me again. So the whole thing again, it is from the beginning. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hears with the same rapt attention. Like that, again, same time, 108 times he repeats. And he hears with same rapt attention. So that was Lord showing by his example how much we should be eager. Then another incident is that, how many of you know Parikshit Maharaj, right? So we know that, you know, he was cursed to die by the serpent. So then what did he do when he knows he has 7 days to live?
He heard Bhagavatam for 7 days.
Yes, so he went to the bank of Ganges and he wanted to fast until then. And he asked so many people, like, you know, what should a person who's about to die do? So many sages told so many things. Finally, Sukadeva Goswami came. Everybody gave him the seat. You know, you take the person to narrate this, talk about or answer this question. Then Sukadeva Goswami told about the whole Srimad Bhagavatam in 7 days. And actually, Parikshit Maharaj was cursed because of what? Do you know the incident?
He put the snake on one sage.
Was... Yes. So why he put the snake, you know?
Yeah, because of Kali.
He was expecting some kind of hospitality from the rishi.
Yes. First of all, that's correct. Essentially, at that moment, Parikshit Maharaj was very hungry, very thirsty, because he was roaming in the forest. And then suddenly he saw that the sage is sitting alone meditating. And he came into his, like, a guest, but he didn't receive him properly. So then he became angry, and for Parikshit Maharaj being a pure devotee, becoming angry just for being thirsty itself is amazing, because it's all arranged by the Lord so that Bhagavatam can be revealed. And also Lord wanted Parikshit Maharaj to go back to him very quickly. So then that is Lord's arrangement, that you know, he puts a snake because he was thirsty. But imagine, for the 7 days he never ate, never drank anything. And he even quotes a verse, he says a verse saying, you know, your descriptions of Krishna are so amazing that, you know, I'm not feeling hungry, I'm not feeling thirsty. I want to hear more and more and more. So that was his, you know, intensity of eagerness to hear. So that gives, you know, they are setting us a standard, like, you know, how much we should be eager to hear. And
and what the we also do, right? Some every day we chant, right? Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
Mm-hmm. So how much eager we are?
So if it, yeah, first of all, anyway, we don't really, you know, we are not full of that eagerness to chant. We don't look forward, still we are not in that stage. But anyway, so we chant every day. Does that become stale? Do you get bored after next day? Like, no, like, usually if you take any other name, and Prabhupada uses generally Coca-Cola. This, you know, Coca-Cola. So if you take Coca-Cola and if you keep chanting Coca-Cola, 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 what happens? You will get bored and you will really feel thirsty to drink Coca-Cola. That's how the name. So he says, if you chant Hare Krishna mantra, you don't feel thirsty 2 hours, right? For we can sit at least, you know, if you practice and if you, you know, have that concentration, focus, 2 hours. After 2 hours, you will be, you know, you want to chant more actually. You will never feel thirsty or anything. So there is, you know, of course we are not at realize. We are not at that level to, you know, see how the how potent the holy name, but that how powerful is it. And even for us, we can sit 2 hours and chant. We don't get thirsty or we don't feel tired or anything.
And like that, you can, many examples we can see, right? People have been doing for years, 40 years, 50 years, every day, 2 hours. So how?
So it's not something, you know, name which stale. Uh-huh. Basically, in all the material things, there is something called law of satiation, right? So you once you start keep pushing, you at some point it becomes stale.
The you theory lose. Of marginal utility in the economics.
That's the one that I was going to say.
But more you consume, the satisfaction or the value or the utility of that product
will reduce. It will reduce. At some point you lose the taste. But in the spiritual matters, that doesn't apply. It doesn't you know, exist, law of satiation. The more, as she was telling, the more we hear, it becomes more, like, you know, the eagerness or, you know, the attention.
And also it's like even Bhagavad Gita, right? It's one time now we are reading, okay, we feel, oh wow, I understood so many things. But next time we go and read again, after maybe 1 year, some amount of purification, we'll see some new meanings and, you know, new depth, more deeper
more
understanding.
Deeper.
So it's like that layers we can see.
So Hari Vilas Prabhu all this time says, for him the favorite book is Bhagavad Gita. Okay. If you see his book, he has so much, you know, inserts, put writes and puts. So he says even after 35-40 years of reading, if he goes back and reads something, he gets a different, deeper meaning of it. Then immediately he writes it and inserts, he puts it there. So for us, you know, I may be reading, you know, second time or max, you know, third time, not more than that. But you can imagine how deeper. So spiritual matter, as she explained, it expands. The more you read, the Krishna gives you more realizations, you know, to go deep into the spiritual. So what are the amazing things in this one, this particular verse? First is soul is amazing.
The people who see,
the people who sees, they are amazing. And
the act of seeing,
act of seeing,
act of hearing, or, you know, of course you can apply all the three, seeing, hearing and describing to that.
And here in the purport, Prabhupada is saying that, you know, even though it is explained by the greatest authority of knowledge, people don't understand the wonders of the soul. So who is the greatest authority of knowledge?
Krishna,
right?
Krishna.
Who imparted the lessons to the first living being of the universe. So when Brahma is born, the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, from his navel comes a lotus flower. Brahma is born on top, right? It's all dark. Then he got the instruction to do tapa, right? When he did tapa, then, you know, he heard the instruction how to create the universe. And then, you know, Vedic knowledge is revealed to him.
have father. Atma, he doesn't have mother.
So, amazing thing is, it's also the opposite. Like people who don't even are not interested in soul at all, or spiritual knowledge, that they also exist. That is also amazing. Right?
Somebody was telling, you know, if you take even small things like the material creation,
yeah,
everything actually, you know, if you analyze, if you are really, you know, that very grateful, right? If you are a sane man, if you have, you know, composure of mind, proper mind, if you think, you really appreciate everything as amazing.
Oh.
You are telling, if you take even small things, you will be so much amazed actually. You will be amazed.
No, I think the last amazing is more interesting, which is, while others, well, even after hearing about him, cannot understand him at all. So
yeah, that's also amazing.
Yeah.
So that is really the...
Yeah.
But anyway,
and
so
here even after hearing about him, and in this case, him is
soul,
right?
Soul. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So anything related to soul, it's particularly that's what its soul thing is amazing. That's the
Ascharya is usually surprise, right?
Mm.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Here it is amazing. I mean, this is overwhelming, odd. Here.
That's true.
Ascharya.
Overwhelmed, yeah, odd, correct.
And also, I was hearing one lecture in that day, right? So basically, we are all supposed to be Sachidananda Vigraha, right? Like Sachid, always blissful, happy and all. So when we see somebody, you know, very happy and this thing, so we should be supposed to be, you know, amazed by looking at them actually.
Yeah. Smile is infectious, they say.
Yeah, you know, you will be.
This is the initial time actually. So the initial followers of Prabhupada, right? They were all called hippies. Hippies means like they used to be. They are all like were from rich families. And they saw that, you know, the money their parents had, they were not satisfied with that. They were running out of the home and, you know, trying all kinds of things to get happiness,
intoxication,
all those things. So those people somehow got attracted to Srila Prabhupada and they started following him. And,
what are the four regulative principles? There is something called, you know, usually in the Prabhupada, what's the four regulative principles?
Tax association, no gambling,
no
association,
no meat eating,
no
intoxication,
no
illicit sex,
no gambling.
No gambling. There's a four don'ts, right? So exactly these four things were the hippies were doing. If you see, you know, the hippies in 1960s, exactly they were doing these four things.
They were having intoxication, right?
They were doing having intoxication.
They were doing the four things.
Hippies, they are called hippies.
Yeah. Okay.
So they were doing exactly these four things, right?
Yeah, Hare
Krishna. They were not doing the four
things. So
then, so when Prabhupada entered, like in 1965 when he came to US, he directly went into a field, Lower Bowery, right? Yeah, Lower Bowery in New York. That's where all the hippies used to stay. It's a park, especially, you know. So that's where all these people used to hang out. And there is one singer called Allen Ginsberg or somebody. He's a very, what do you call, he encourages hippie movement. So he was the one who, you know, used to lead this movement. So everybody from different US states, they used to come to New York. That's the first main place for hippies. And the other group, they used to go to San Francisco. That's the next headquarters for hippies. So then Prabhupada went to, you know, where to catch people. Basically, the generation, the people, the teenagers, they had given up the, you know, all the family, parents, everybody. They were already sick of this material life. The parents are already, you know, they are well off. They had a lot of money. And they were not really focusing on the kids. They were focusing on how to make more money. So the kids, when they saw that mentality, they got bored. They thought, you know, what this, we don't want to be like them. We want to explore, you know, life and adventure, do some adventure. That's why they gave up all this and they came to, you know, New York and San Francisco.
Well, so they are so-called renounced.
So basically they are practicing
renunciation. But they didn't know what is the positive thing, where to invest.
So
they were looking,
yeah,
all
they
the options.
Were so looking for, you know, alternative basically, whatever, you know, they want. So then Prabhupada entered and, you know, the first thing he did was in New York, Thompson Square Park. That's the main park in New York. So there, under a tree, there is one tree. Now also it's named as Prabhupada tree or something. There is one, the park has given the name for the tree. It's still there. So there Prabhupada was just chanting Hare Krishna mantra. No, he was just chanting. And then people slowly came, and you know, and also Prabhupada was so effulgent. He was already 68 years old. He was almost, you know, 68 years old. Even he was so old, but he was so effulgent, and you know, he's like bright. People were coming and asking him, what are you doing?
Very attractive.
No, very attractive. They got attracted. Then slowly, you know, they started picking up.
He was just singing, everybody was going around and dancing.
When he was singing, they used to go around, you know. So basically at that time, everybody used to take LSD. Right? LSD is the, like a drug. Yeah, so that makes you go high. I think, you know, that's why it makes you go high. You will stay for some time. After that, you fall down. So then Prabhupada said, you know, why LSD? You chant Hare Krishna mantra, you'll always remain high.
You stay high forever.
Then they started trying out. You know, because basically they, when Prabhupada spoke something, they used to get attracted because that much powerful, you are so pure. When somebody says, right, somebody is really pure, it goes directly into your heart, the message. Then they started taking. So then somebody, after some time, right, some reporter asked. So lot of, we see lot of Babaji's and you know all these things coming from India. Basically there are a lot of people already coming from India, all the sannyasis and all. So they come lot of time from India and all. So they do some kind of miracles. They give some, whatever they used to do. And they used to take money, all these things, right? Then the reporter asked Prabhupada, so what can you show us some miracle? Have you done something or, you know, can you do something miracle? That's what the spiritual things all about. Then Prabhupada told, no, I cannot show you anything because I cannot do all these things. But only my miracle is, I have converted from hippies to happies.
I made hippies to happies.
And that's what exactly it happened. Everybody, you know, whatever the four things, see, if you imagine, you know, people are involved in four things, illicit, the gambling, how powerful the person should be to take them out from that. Exactly, was he never compromised on these four regulative principles. Because you cannot do it without this, you know, involving in this, you cannot practice any spiritual thing. So he never compromised. He gave directly the message. This is what you need to follow to, you know, become a spiritual person. And exactly they gave up. Just by, you know, hearing from Prabhupada, they gave up.
Actually, in one lecture to Prabhupada, you know, he was telling general public, he was talking. And he was telling, actually, I'm not getting paid by these people. Or rather, you know, I'm not paying these people in order to do all these things for me. Rather, they are paying me. It's so, you know, it's so, what to say, inspiring. That they themselves are coming and, you know, they are working hard and giving money to temple and things like that. So, I'm not paying them to, you know, to follow me or do all these things. So, on their own, they are, you know, kind of following these own austerities on their own. Because they found what is called higher taste. That's the only thing. See, if something is like blocking us or... No, we feel like something is very difficult to, like coffee Prabhu is saying. No, it's very difficult to give up. No, if we think. So all we need is just a matter of time, and if we get the higher taste with association of devotees, then it's very easy to. It's not called giving up at that point. It's like, you know, just changing.
I think that's all points on this particular.
So, from some people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some people who are inclined to hear about the soul may be attending lectures in good association, but sometimes, owing to ignorance, they are misguided by acceptance of the super soul and the atomic soul as one without distinction of magnitude. It is very difficult to find a man who perfectly understands the position of the super soul, the atomic soul, their respective functions and relationships, and all other major and minor details. And it is still more difficult to find a man who has actually derived full benefit from knowledge of the soul and who is able to describe the position of the soul in different aspects. But if somehow or other one is able to understand the subject matter of the soul, then one's life is successful.
Actually, in this regard, general, right, from whatever education we have learned, if somebody asks like, okay, can you speak about, you know, speak about body or matter for 1 hour, we can speak so many things, like, you know, maybe you know about our body or, you know, how we are born or where we are educated, so many things we can tell. But if somebody tells, can you speak 10 minutes about soul, we don't know what to say, right? So that's what in this verse is saying, right? Prabhupada is saying that people don't know the details of soul. Spiritual subject matter, nobody knows. No characteristics of soul, you know, how soul is related to the Lord, how I am related to the Lord, how I can develop my service to the Lord, how I can develop love to the Lord. That subject matter, how much we can talk. That's the
point. And also we can, this one you can refer to 7.3 and 7.19,
yeah,
right? The one you...
That's when I was saying. Yeah, people are very amazing who are inclined to spiritual subject matters. So that's why all of us is very precious. Like all of you are very precious. So we are so grateful to serve you.
It's okay, that paragraph?
Yes.
The easiest process for understanding the subject matter of self, however, is to accept the statements of the Bhagavad Gita spoken by the greatest authority, Lord Krishna, without being deviated by other theories. But it also requires a great deal of penance and sacrifice, either in this life or in the previous ones, before one is able to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna can, however, be known as such by the causeless mercy of the pure devotee and by no other way.
So
why is the word causeless often mentioned, Mandaji? I always wonder if I can understand limitless or boundless, right? But not causeless.
Causeless means no cause.
No, I understand the meaning of the word, but I don't understand the usage. It's like, you know.
No, I was about to ask you, do you know any example of a devotee who gives causeless mercy? I was about to ask the question.
First, you need to understand what is causeless then.
No. I just want to understand the usage of the word.
Okay.
See, if I can understand, see, Krishna's mercy is boundless or limitless. That I can understand. When somebody says, so, but it has a cause. The cause is he has created us and, you know,
But at the same time,
yeah,
because he has created us, he's not bound to give that.
Yeah.
Got it? He's not obliged.
It's unconditional.
Exactly.
But Mataji, we do that. You know, if we have just for our kids, we have so much love and affection. Then Krishna was created, all of us must have even more love.
Yeah, he has more.
Yes, right?
But
so
you cannot put him against
costless,
that.
Right?
No, you cannot put him against that and say, so because of that, you're supposed to do this.
No.
Then it becomes...
No. Yeah, the other point is...
Obligation.
Yeah.
No, he's not obligated, Mataji, but it's natural, it's instinctive,
natural.
Right?
Natural.
No, that's true, whatever Prabhu is saying true. Especially, see, if you are... Okay, if you have two kids. So, one kid is very obedient to you. And the other kid is... Oh, what is the other?
Mischievous.
No, disobedient.
Disobedient.
Okay. So... Whom do you prefer, like, you know, whom
obedient.
Do you more inclined towards?
Mm-hmm.
Who is obedient?
Obedient, right?
So same way Krishna, when we are there with Krishna, or even right now also the creation is, you know, 3/4. So people in the material creation is just 1/4. And there are, you know, more number of people, or, you know, the magnitude of spiritual world is 3/4.
Mm-hmm.
So that means Krishna is, you know, he's happy because they reciprocate, they serve. And we are the one who created, you know, be disobedient to Krishna, saying, you know, so that's why Krishna gave you little bit of independence or freedom. So he never interfere in that freedom for you.
Right.
He never comes and interfere in that freedom.
No, that's fine, Prabhu, but still I can't, what I'm saying is, I can understand the word limitless or causeless or, yeah,
so
not
another
sorry,
meaning for causeless,
yeah.
Causeless is that there is no material cause for that. Like, for example, bhakti is called causeless. In the sense, it's not based on my education or my wealth, or I cannot earn bhakti by material means. Bhakti comes only through bhakti. When a devotee prays for us, or, you know, somehow they shower that drops of bhakti on us, that's when our bhakti grows. So So that's how it is. That's why it's called causeless in the sense there is no
outcome.
Material cause.
Right. That part I can understand.
Yeah, that's one understanding of causeless.
But here it says the mercy of the pure devotee.
Yes.
Usually mercy, the word is associated with whoever is powerful because he has the power
yes.
to give merciness,
yes.
right?
The pure devotee has the
yes,
power.
But now he is saying the pure devotee who is like worshipping the Lord, they are doing mercy on the Lord. I mean, not
on the Lord.
No, but
where
whatever,
is on the Lord?
No, I mean, say, he said causeless mercy of the pure devotee.
Yeah.
So
Krishna
said,
can, however, be known
yeah.
as such by the causeless mercy of the pure devotee, no other way.
Mercy of
that
the
means
pure devotee.
Pure
means
devotee, if he.
No. I think. Okay, sorry, but I think I got
so
it.
So, if a pure devotee showers his mercy upon us because we are ignorant,
okay. so
we don't have a way.
Yeah.
On our own, we cannot approach. But if they pray or, you know, they have that knowledge, they somehow pray to Krishna, please, you know, help this soul. Then we can also understand Krishna.
Okay.
So
basically, pure devotee is giving us mercy by
exactly.
association
okay.
or by
so
their
pure
knowledge.
Devotee, Krishna is basically. Actually, one verse Krishna says, Krishna or maybe one of the avatars, they say, right, you know, for pure devotees, I'm yours. Krishna is saying to the pure devotee, I'm yours. You take me anywhere and you give to anyone, I'm going to go. So that's how much Krishna is purchased by pure devotion. That's why he doesn't give pure devotion easily. Because, you know, Ashodamai, how she binds Krishna. So Krishna becomes captured for a pure devotee. So he doesn't want to give pure devotion unless we, you know, prove by sincerity. That's our part. But one side we know he doesn't want to give. At the same time we know he is very eager and he wants to give. So the gap is our journey. Right? That's the only thing. So pure. That's why pure devotees are considered more merciful than the Lord himself. Because they, without discrimination, sometimes they give the Lord. They sometimes, we actually, when you experience it, you will feel it. In our own lives, we have seen it, like, we have come from such a fallen background, right? Doing all kinds of nonsense things. But then, just by the mercy of, you know, pure devotees and, you know, all the devotees who pray for us and everything, we can see, tangibly, we can see when they suddenly show a merciful glance or when they pray for us, our life changes actually. Immediately changes. All these bad habits go away and you don't even know. Otherwise this conditioning especially I can say to myself, I was so much into like passion, ignorance. And of course I had a sincere desire to practice. I know these were blocking me so much. This conditioning is so strong, right? But I was struggling, you know, I have to make progress, something. But that sincerity attracts the devotees. So when they blessed us, that's when I could see, you know, suddenly, you know, these things are no longer blocking. I can make a smooth progress. So it's very, very tangible. Pure devotees are very, very merciful and they are, you know, they can give Krishna to us. Even though we are not qualified, they will make us qualified and give.
So always think of Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah.
Right? So he came 1965, he started this movement and he gave us, you know, the pure translation of Bhagavad Gita. So somehow we came across some devotees or somebody who gave us, you know, oh, you take this book or you know, attend, come to temple, something. So I didn't create any cause, right? I didn't do anything.
It somehow happened that, you know, I got in touch with devotees. So that's what is causeless. How did, I cannot say, oh, by destiny I had to walk here. Especially bhakti things, you cannot really say it's destiny. It's real.
Bhakti
that's
comes from bhakti. It cannot
causeless.
Come from any.
So it's some divine arrangement that I happen to suddenly go by this person. And that devotee is merciful enough to, you know, share Krishna
share
with me.
Krishna.
If that devotee is preoccupied with, you know, his work and like, oh, I'm like dealing with my boss, things like that. And somebody is eager and I don't say anything,
yeah.
then maybe, you know, the chance is gone.
It's very, very.
But that
very
devotee was extending himself. And suddenly I happened to be there, I just got the mercy.
I always thought that it is destiny, meaning like, you know, I started the process somewhere in my previous life and then, you know, it's a continuation
that's
of that journey. And because I had started, I was meant to be, you know, come in association with devotee and keep following.
Yeah, that's
that
true.
Journey.
That there is some amount of piety also required.
Need piety
that's
to
like
get into.
that's like, you know, some amount of priority is required, but at the same time, that's not also required. If the mercy is there, even that can be overcome.
So you're saying it can happen by chance? Or
exactly.
So means by mercy, somebody's mercy.
See that hippies, right? What, even in this life, of course, I mean, the how they turned out later on, we can say that, you know, they are definitely very wonderful souls. We cannot, you know, say that, you know, they are like ordinary people. But given the situation they came, right, the how they were cultivating their life, there was no piety there. People were roaming on the road naked, like, you know, so many things, right? Completely lost everything. So, actually one person asked Prabhupada, like, you know, what is my qualification? We are getting so much mercy. Like, you know, I'm like, so much nectar in hearing Bhagavatam, eating prasadam, singing, chanting, dancing, so much happiness. What did I do? What piety I did in my life?
What was my qualification?
Prabhupada said, you don't have any qualification. I created your qualification.
He said, I made your qualification.
I made you qualified. That's the mercy of pure devotee. It's not arrogance.
It's not arrogance.
It's saying the truth. Because his poem, when he wrote in Jaladutta, right? That's what he wrote. Like, you know, I'm going on a mission of my spiritual master. And I have to tell this four regulative principles this to this Western people. How are they going to follow? And, you know, how, Krishna, you give me the power in my words, so these words will touch them. You have to make me, you have given me the title Bhakti Vedanta, you fulfill that. So the devotees have given him the title Bhakti Vedanta. Bhakti Vedanta means one who is very proficient in bhakti subject matter. Realized. So you have given me that word, now you fulfill that. That means, you know, there is some potency in that. So that's what he was just begging. So he was not arrogant. But at the same time, yeah, there is some pious. People who are more pious are more conducive. But that is not a requirement.
So if I have a sincere desire, but I might, you know, I might not get that mercy, like, you know, right away. I mean, I might have to wait. But someone who might not have the sincere desire, by chance,
may get yes.
Yeah, they can. Yeah.
Yeah, you cannot compare. Once you come to spiritual life, you cannot say, you know, I chanted more rounds, or I chanted more attentively when compared to that person. Why that person is advancing more than me? Because we don't know how much they have already done in the previous life. It may be this their life, last life. They just pick it up and they go. We have seen many people who come after so many years, but they grow very fast. It's a sincerity. So the verse you were talking about piety, right? 7.28. In the same section also Prabhupada is covering that. Yeah, Krishna himself says that, you know, one has to be pious in order to practice bhakti. Or, you know, in order to practice bhakti with determination. So, esham tva antatatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvandva moha vidmukta vajante maam drudavrata. Persons who have acted piously in previous life and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are freed from the dualities of delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. So Krishna says it requires some amount of piety in order to practice bhakti with determination. Otherwise you do for some time, because of conditioning and sinful tendencies, go back. But then, beyond this, if you are attached to a pure devotee, just to please that person, you somehow get the strength to overcome the conditioning. So that's a better way to be.
Anyway, I just wanted to give a practical example, you know, what's causeless mercy really means. So this was in 2004, right? So I just graduated in 2004, then I was going to Cincinnati for a job. Then, you know, I thought I have to read something on the flight. I was so much into, you know, auto, all these cars, everything. So I had finished almost all the car magazines. I was so much into it. So then I thought, you know, I need something different to read on the flight. Then we are like total four people, roommates, right? We used to live in California. Then I was just checking our book racks, you know, we had all kinds of books, right? All automobile, some people had, you know, all the novels, this, that, everything they had. Somehow, I didn't get it, I don't know, I don't know how it came. So there was one book. Have you seen Krishna book? Krishna book, right?
Yep.
So that was, the book was there on the shelf, book rack. Then I thought, wow, this seems interesting, because I didn't read for a long time. I have seen Rama and Mahabharata in India, but I have not read a book.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, oh, this book, you know, looks good. Maybe I can read as a novel. So I just took that book on the flight. So when I started reading. I think it was 5 or 6 hour flight. So I was almost, you know, it was so much into it, you know. It was, so I just started reading, and by the time I went there, it was almost done. Then I thought, wow, you know, Prabhupada, first time I'm seeing Prabhupada picture in that, you know, backside he has, and references, more books, if you want to read more books, it was there. I thought, wow, this person is really amazing. I should read, you know, more book. It's very good, you know, I like the subject matter. Then I went to one of the local temples in the Cincinnati, and that's not a Krishna temple or anything. They have all, you know, different things. But they had, I was looking for some books, you know, to read. I know only Bhagavad Gita. I wanted some Bhagavad Gita. I was looking for Bhagavad Gita, and there was only one book in their gift shop, and that one book was Bhagavad Gita as it is. So I thought, wow, that's really amazing. Let me take that book and read, you know, start reading.
Oh, it's really amazing.
Yeah, no, it's really everything how it happened. Then I started reading. So then, you know, after that automatically I started picking up, because Prabhupada mentioned, no, you can chant Hare Krishna mantra. I thought, wow, it's, you know, something different, because I was seeing some change in my lifestyle, you know, or, you know, my peace, everything, mind, everything, you know. So then automatically I got the process. Even before meeting any particular temple or devotees, I already got all these points through the book. Chanting about chanting.
Offering used to
put I used to put print a picture. I didn't know what to offer, like, you know, but in the book Prabhupada says, right, you have to offer, you know, whatever you cook, you have to offer like that. I didn't even add tulsi leaves and all. Just, you know, whatever I used to use onion also. I used to offer that only. Cook onion and whatever is pictured, put offer and all. So this all started just by Krishna book. And so far I have not found out how that Krishna book came there into the, so that one book, it changed everything. My whole life, you know, whatever I am today, it's all just because of that one book. And that one book, I'm pretty sure somebody has given it to the other three roommates. Usually when you go, you know, outside, sometimes people give you the books.
Yeah.
Some temple or something, no, if they have. So somebody has given, for me, I didn't get that book, I know. So the three of them, somewhere they got the book and they put it on the bookshelf. So that's the causeless mercy. That 728, right, she mentioned, who acted piously in previous life. I don't think I am, because I was eating meat. Even after this life, in the beginning, I was eating meat. And whose sinful actions are completely eradicated or freed from the dualities of... I was completely in duality. So I don't think any of this, you know, applies for me. But by the causeless mercy of that just one Krishna book, and I was kind of, you know, guided slowly. So that's what I usually relate. Causeless mercy means that's what it is. I didn't do anything.
Suddenly but happens.
Again, you know, there is no reason for, I cannot explain how it happened. But it changed my life, that's all. Yeah, that Krishna book, then afterwards I came to know. Then after that I visited temple. I met devotees that time, what really, you know, who are really devotees I met. Then I came to know that Krishna book, right, especially Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam is 12 cantos total. And, you know, it takes a lot of time for him to write, right? So he was writing, then he started feeling ill. He was ill, very ill. He thought he's going to leave his body. Then what he did is, because he knew 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's especially, it's very important to read, you know, to give the pastimes of Krishna, like from his childhood, right, until Dwaraka pastimes, everything is in the 10th canto especially, right? So then he taught people should know the Krishna's activities of Krishna or life, you know, whole life of Krishna. So he couldn't wait until, you know, goes to 10th canto and write the whole thing. So what he did is, in I think 2nd canto or 3rd canto, he stopped going, he wrote Krishna book. So then I came to know that book is one of the most powerful books. If anybody just reads, their life can be transformed, that powerful that book is. After that I said, you know, wow, that's a really power of that book, I got it.
What is the name of the book?
Krishna.
Just Krishna.
It's all from birds to all its activities.
It's completely, that book especially people, parents read for the kids in the night. It's all activity, Krishna's pastime.
Pastimes, all how demons, how he killed,
That's why it was so, you know,
attractive.
Powerful, attract you, the message.
And of course, you know, Prabhupada made sure that, of course, there are so many intimate pastimes, right? So he gave the things which a new person can read, like all the things with philosophy mixed with it. Instead of just, you know, story, but he also gave the philosophical subject matter. Like, for example, there was some discussion of Rukmini Devi and Krishna, right? Where, I'm just somehow recollecting only this past time. So there, Krishna just in order, Rukmini Devi is more very much submissive to the husband. Of course, Satyabhama is opposite, like she always fights with him. That's a rasa. So, but Krishna wants her to fight with him. So once what he does is like he tries to tell her many things, like, you know, why you married me, I don't have money, you know, I don't have job, I don't take care of people, you know, I just, like that, all these excuses he gives. Then she feels very offended. It's like, why Krishna is talking? And each of the points Krishna makes, she philosophically defeats that. No, yeah, of course you don't own anything, because, you know, you don't own anything material. Like that, so many philosophical explanations she gives. Prabhupada also adds to that, you know, exactly her explanation is correct. This is the right understanding about personality of Godhead. So you will never miss the point that Krishna is God. Like that. So he did it, and an amazing job of... he said, like, you know, I wanted to give Krishna to the world. So.
Anyway, that's causeless mercy. At least, you know, we can relate how... Basically, you know, you didn't do anything, but still you ended up getting mercy. That's pure devotee's mercy. And that book is just because of Srila Prabhupada. And
actually, one more thing is, when we feel we deserve it, we don't feel it's causeless.
Hmm.
When we feel, I really didn't do anything, how come this is happening to me?
We value it.
Then we feel it's some unknown mercy. Then, you know, that's a humble position. Like, you know, I don't really deserve it, but somehow this is so great thing which is coming to me. Then we feel it's causeless.
So in devotion service, if you think you have qualification to be in spiritual life, that means you're already disqualified. The second one thing is, if you think you deserve things, like I deserve to be here, I deserve to be, no, that means you're already disqualified too. So it's all... See, if you understand now, it's just because of Srila Prabhupada, we are all sitting here, we are all discussing this, whatever the environment temple has created, the message is giving pure message. That itself is a causeless mercy. That's a qualification actually for us to, you know, be in the spiritual life. If we think, you know, we are, by our piety, you know, all this, I'm studying, I'm understanding,
all this
reason. On my own, I'm trying to, you know, I can understand, I can do all this, means that's kind of a block. This
thing. But that's okay, that will get purified.
Yeah, it's, of course, everybody, we have that, you know, independent tendency, but slowly that will go off. The more we, you know, progress, the one way to, you know, measure advancement in spiritual life is, how can we measure if somebody is advancing in spiritual life?
No, humble.
So if you find anybody, you know, some sannyasis or somebody, if they are acting arrogantly, or, you know, any line of, not just the ISKCON sannyasi, any line of you take, if that person is, you know, for, if he says he's practicing spiritually for years, and if he's not really humble, that means he really is not advancing in spiritual life. So humility is the only thing. Once you make progress, the humility should go up, actually.
Of course, another problem is, like, we cannot judge by their actions, because their humility may be internally they may feeling like servant of everyone, but, you know, just to correct a disciple or something, they may act in a certain way. We can't judge based on their actions.
Yeah, of course, we are not.
So it's like, you know, Vaishnava, nobody can understand.
Like, for example, Arivilas Prabhu, right here, sometime festival times, we all get chastised. He chastises, like, because we don't do things properly. He gives a plan and we don't do it. Then immediately, you know, he chastises.
You can tell about your incident, washing.
Which
one? Alcohol, Mexicans.
Yeah, so this happened maybe, you know, last year, 2012, right? Christmas time or Thanksgiving time. So what I was doing is, he wanted to cook for Thanksgiving feast. He usually cooks Thanksgiving feast.
In the morning there was some program.
And there was morning already some program. So all the dishes were in the kitchen sink. There were a lot of dishes. Then I came I was also tired. Then I told Arivilas Prabhu that, you know, Prabhuji, we are going to call some Mexicans to clean the pots. Then immediately, you know, he told, why do you think the devotees here in the temple or living around the temple, why do you think they cannot do this service? do you want them to, you know, come and take the... It's a service opportunity. For devotees, it's a opportunity to serve, right? Krishna, it's all, you know, you can get credit for that. Why you want to give credits to somebody, you know, they...
Mexicans.
Yeah, like, you know, why... You,
we are causeless mercy, right? Yeah, we want to give mercy to everyone. We don't want to do service.
Then, yeah, then he told, you never tell me like that, I don't want to hear this.
One more time.
Anytime, I don't want to hear this from you.
Before I start cooking,
everything should be clean. That's how the culture was. You know, you don't leave it in the sink, a lot of dirty things, and you don't cook. Yeah. Everything, kitchen should be clean. And then you cook, then?
Again it should be clean.
That's actually good cook. You want to find out who is really good cook? That's the criteria. Arivilas Prabhu only told. The good cook is, when he starts, everything is, you know, clean. Then after they cook everything, it looks as it is. Nothing was done. It's all clean. That's it. That's the good cook, and that's the culture actually. That's how the Vedic culture was. Then, you know, I understood. So he was teaching me. It was not his arrogance actually. He was teaching me. You know, it's basically a training for us. You know, I can do it. Then what I did is, immediately there were like 3-4 people in temple. Then I called them, all of them. Then within half an hour, everything was clean.
When Prabhu came home and told, you know, I got lot of blessings today. That's really blessings, right?
No, really.
Instead of thinking, you know, somebody scolded me or...
That's
how... Like, we have in mythology, there is this Durvasa Maharishi.
Durvasa
Maharishi. Durvasa Maharishi.
Yeah.
He never attained spiritual,
yeah, basically he's
he
not
there. He got arrogant and so God showed him, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah, what happened to him?
Yeah. I don't know what happened to him.
No, he was not...
What did he do? He cursed Ambarish Maharaj, right?
Yeah.
Because Ambarish Maharaj took some break fasting, right? He was just a drop of water and he consulted all the Brahmanas that how to, you know, get the benefit of credit of performing the Ekadashi.
Mm.
They told you just take a sip of water. This is Lord's offered water. No, just take a sip. That's all he did. But Durvasa Muni is anger personified, right? It's a kind of Shiva and something, right? Lord Shiva's incarnation. Okay. Yeah, so then he got very angry. Then he created the demon. He chanted his mantras. He created the demon, that whatever, the fire demon or something. Then immediately to save the devotee, because Ambarish Maharaj was a king, but he was a pure devotee of the Lord Vishnu. Then immediately the Sudarshan Chakra came, and it started chasing Durvasa Muni.
Yeah.
Then Durvasa Muni went all around the world differently.
Yeah.
Of course, he didn't go to, I think he went to...
Lord Shiva, Brahma.
Yeah, he went to everybody, all the planets. He traveled, right? He could travel everywhere. And he went to Narayana, Vishnu also. Then Vishnu said, I cannot help.
I don't have power to stop my devotee.
Because he offended the devotee.
He finally begged before Ambarish Maharaj.
Finally he came back, he begged forgiveness from Ambarish Maharaj. Then the Vishnuji was retracted, the Vishnu Chakra. Sudarshan Chakra. So, yeah. So he learned this lesson. That's what, yeah.
Okay. Everybody close their books.
Yeah, we'll do next time, but anyway, that's the end of actually text 30.
Yeah.
That's kind of a conclusion for the Sankhya philosophy.
So we'll end of text 30.
If you finish text 30, that means we'll be completing that section. Whatever the Sankhya philosophy Krishna was giving, all the. We'll do it.
Dehi
nityam avadyoyam, dehi sarvasya bharata, tasmat sarvani bhutani, natvam sochitam arhasi.
So again this thing came, natvam sochitam arhasi.
Dehi nityam avadyoyam, dehi sarvasya bharata, tasmat sarvani bhutani, natvam sochitam arhasi.
descendant of Bharat, Bharat, he who dwells in body can never be slain, therefore you need not grieve for any living being. The Lord now concludes the chapter of instruction on the immutable spirit soul. In describing the immortal soul in various ways, Lord Krishna establishes that the soul is immortal and the body is temporary. Therefore, Arjuna as a Kshatriya should not abandon his duty out of fear that his grandfather and teacher Bhishma and Drona will die in the battle. On the authority of Sri Krishna, one has to believe that there is a soul different from the material body, not that there is no such thing as soul, or that living symptoms develop at a certain stage of material maturity resulting from the interaction of chemicals. Though the soul is immortal, violence is not encouraged, but at the time of war it is not discouraged
when there is actual
need for it. The need must be justified in terms of sanction of the Lord and not
capricious.
So this really summarizes the whole discussion, yeah. Right? Like, whatever. So again, Krishna is saying that, you know, soul is immortal and body is temporary. So Arjuna should, as a Kshatriya, he should do his duty. At the same time, knowing that soul is firm and eternal, one should not whimsically take the life. Right? It should be done under the authority.
Not anybody, you know, somebody can take up this and they can, you know, screw up the meanings. That's why Prabhupada is making it very clearly. It's just
sanction
of the Lord, not capriciously. So he's making it clear. You know, Bhagavad Gita should be used. Instructions should be used for what it is.
Yeah, doing. Next section will be very interesting, 31 to 38. Krishna is going to talk about fruitive activities and prescribed duties. So then we can apply, you know, how to do our duties in context of Krishna consciousness. How to dovetail them to Krishna.
So right now, until he was giving the analytical study, you know, after that he is going to come down to the prescribed duties. What a really person should do. If people cannot understand the philosophy or, you know, analysis, then people should know at least, you know, he comes up to the next level, next lower understanding.